Church, we are continuing on in the book of James, and we will be reading James chapter 5, verse 12. There's one verse today. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we offer to you this time as we open up your word that you would also give us open ears and hearts to receive what you have for us today. May your spirit be present, Lord, in every room where people are watching. We ask, God, that you would continue to give us just a hearts that will follow your lead and take in today what we hear and to apply it in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. So I recently reread through the book of James, and this all in preparation for preaching. And I was struck by a few things, some things for the first time. One of the things I was struck by was how much this book of the Bible is filled with direct commands to do this and that, and rebuke and challenge. And as I was reading it through, I thought to myself, goodness, like, this is a hard book. This is a hard book to read. If you received a letter from somebody and they were telling you, correcting you, rebuking you, how would you feel receiving a letter like that? I think most of us would have our defenses up, and it's not always easy to hear those kind of things. But Proverbs 27:6 says this: wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from an enemy. James was a sincere friend. In fact, more than that, he was a trusted leader in the church. The James who wrote this book is considered, as most scholars believe, was the half-brother of Jesus. And James had his own testimony. He didn't come to faith in Jesus until after Jesus was resurrected. And then he became a believer. He has a testimony of how he came to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. He became a pillar of the church. And then he wrote a letter to Christians outside of Jerusalem, all over, the Christians everywhere, who knew who he was with this letter. And he calls them my brothers and sisters. Throughout this letter, he uses that term, my brothers and sisters, my beloved brothers and sisters. He loves them. And he wants them to hear these words, not because he wants to simply accuse them of different things or hurt them, but he loves them enough to tell the truth, to say, these are things that are going to lead you astray from God, and I want you to stay on the path that will draw you closer to him, not farther away. So can we receive the words that we hear today as from a trusted friend, a trusted leader who loves us, from the Lord himself? Not only today, but in the weeks ahead as we go through the book of James. The other thing that I noticed in the book of James was it's a lot of different thoughts. So it's kind of, some people think it's kind of like the book of Proverbs, a lot of different messages. And so there are kind of a lot of different sound bites. And if you think of what the purpose of this letter was, it was a letter that was meant to be publicly read and distributed. And James was really not talking to one specific area or group of people or a church, but he was really intending for this letter to be read among Christians, Jewish Christians, all over the place. And so he was trying to address many different issues. So the part we're reading today is actually, this one verse doesn't really connect in thought or flow with the verses before and after, but it does connect with James's overall important, one of his important themes in this letter as a whole is the importance of the tongue. So 2 weeks ago, we started this series, little mini series in the book of James on the tongue specifically. Pastor Soon talked about in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, the power of the tongue. How James talks about, you know, how salt water and fresh water can't come from the same spring. And what's in our hearts comes out. And how can we call ourselves followers of Christ and have things come out of our mouths that are not Christ-like? In James chapter 4, Pastor Dan talked about not slandering one another. And again, it's a heart issue. You know, are we sitting in judgment on other people, thinking we can tell them not to slander someone else, and we can slander other people and say that what they're doing is wrong, but we're assuming that we're in a place that we can judge them then. And today, James now jumps in chapter 5, among other thoughts. He comes to this thought again. The thought of the tongue, what we use our tongue for is so important to James. And he wants to come to this thought. And he says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or earth or anything else, but he commands us to say just a simple yes or no. I want us to take a moment to think about it because it's not actually really intuitive or explained in this text or for us today to understand what's the problem with swearing an oath. I mean, we swear oaths when we go to court to tell the truth, right? That's important to do. We take vows. Marriage vows are important to make. That's a swearing before God to be faithful to your spouse. Those are important things to do. That's not the type of thing that James is talking about today. So let's break it down. In the context of what's going on, James is actually really repeating Jesus' commands. Back in Matthew 5, we hear these words of Jesus. He says, again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. It really is pretty much James was saying what Jesus commanded, right? James is repeating Jesus' command not to swear, doing away with swearing, but saying simply yes or no. What was it that Jesus was teaching at this time? First of all, what does it mean to swear or to take a vow? It's making a binding promise to someone that you will carry it out. And if you don't, and especially if you swear this before God, God is your witness, and he will judge you if you don't carry it out. In Deuteronomy 23, 21, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. So this understanding of swearing and making vows was around for a long time. And God says, I take seriously the vows that you make, and I will hold you to it if you make the vows. What had happened over the years was that the people of God realized they couldn't keep the vows that they were making. And so what ended up happening was that they came up with a way, the Jewish teachers of the law, they came up with a way of making non-binding oaths. So this is what they said. They said, if you swore by heaven, or if you swore by earth, or you swore by Jerusalem, or the gold in the temple of Jerusalem, then if you happen to break it, it'll be okay. It was kind of like when you were kids, you say, I swear I'll do something. I promise to do something. And then behind your back, you would cross your fingers. And so then if someone said, you didn't do that. And you said, oh, I crossed my fingers behind my back so I wouldn't have to hold to it. It was kind of this way out. But yet everyone had accepted that it's okay then to swear and make these oaths. And it still felt like you were doing and making a solemn promise. I think that if we don't already see it, sometimes we do these things that are so, on the one hand, so obviously hypocritical, but somehow we believe that it's okay to do it. So just hold that thought, because before we judge and say, well, how silly that is, right? Because we do this more than we think. So Jesus calls us out and he says, this is hypocritical. And he says, just because you're not swearing by the Lord's name, you think you can get out of it because you're swearing by heaven or earth or other things. He says, well, heaven was made by the Lord. Earth was made by the Lord, right? And he says, how can you think that this is non-binding all of a sudden? And he says, you know what? Jesus says, altogether, the words of these swears have become meaningless. The oaths have become meaningless. Don't make them anymore. Simply just say yes or no. Be people of your word. Carry out what you say, keep it simple, right? And James is repeating this command because it was still an issue. in James's time, which is only a few years later after Jesus' death, right? So it was still an issue. And James says, remember these words that our Savior spoke. We're called to a higher standard of honesty. So what does it look like for us today to be people who are simply going to say yes or no? What does it mean to say yes or no to, right? I'm going to give you a few examples just to try to spell it out for us. Say yes to what you stand for. Say no to what you don't stand for. Develop your convictions. And then say yes and say no when you need to, right? The musical Hamilton came out a number of years ago, and it became a huge sensation. I think that some of us who haven't seen it might think, gosh, what's the big deal, right? In fact, I was kind of one of them. When I first listened to the soundtrack, I just didn't get it. It was, the words were too fast. I didn't quite understand it. But as I listened to it more, I was like, this is amazing. The reason it's amazing, in my opinion, is that it really brought the story of the founding fathers to life. I am not a history person. In fact, it's a history that I most disliked in school. I'm that person that really tried to avoid history classes. In fact, my sophomore year of high school, I took computer science instead of history because I had a choice. I said, let me avoid history altogether. So I'm not a history person. Hamilton is a story that brings a story of specifically Hamilton, one of the founding fathers of the United States. And it made it so interesting to me. But this is what I learned about Hamilton that I thought has application for us today. Hamilton was not a perfect man. But one of the things he was he was a person of conviction. And he had ideas of how he wanted to serve the nation and thought this nation, the new nation that he fought for himself, how it should be established. So he did, through his words, through his actions, he fought for it. He wrote papers upon papers to defend the Constitution so that states would ratify it. He did everything he could. He was the one who really established our U.S. financial system, right? He was one person who also was not afraid to say no and disagree when he didn't agree with what other leaders were saying at that time. So he wasn't popular oftentimes. He actually had a lot of political enemies and arguments. He was a person who made his mark, though, in the founding of our nation and made U.S. what it is today, right? He was one who was able to say yes and to say no. What are your convictions? What are they based on? Have you thought it through? Have you done your research? Have you considered, what are my biblical convictions about this? We have elections coming up, which is a really direct application for us today to consider, what is it that we feel about these different measures, about the different candidates. It can be a little overwhelming, or more than overwhelming, when we are trying to understand and we realize there's so many different viewpoints. But we've got to start somewhere. As a church, we decided to offer something. We said, let's ask two Christian leaders, not within our community, as we as a church don't endorse a particular candidate. But we wanted to offer, there are Christian leaders who hold to Democratic viewpoints that are voting for Biden, and those who are Republican that are voting for Trump. So let's ask them to write a position paper that we'll make available to our church. And then we're offering you to ask questions. And you can submit them by this Thursday to the church. And we're going to ask these questions of the leaders. And if appropriate, maybe our own church leaders can respond to questions that you have regarding policies or candidates that we'll seek to do our best to answer. What is it that we believe? What will we say yes to? What do we say no to? Let's not be lazy Christians. Let's form our convictions. Say yes. Number two, say yes to following through. Say no to false promises. This is a theme throughout the book of James, this understanding that we're not only to say with our words what we believe, but we are to follow through with our actions. If we see someone who is without food and clothes, James says, we're not just to say, go and be well. He says to do something about it, right? We're called to do something about what we say and to follow through. And likewise, we're to say no to false promises. I don't think oftentimes we purposely try to do them, but maybe there are times that we are foolish and we realize we shouldn't have made certain promises. There an example of one, George H.W. Bush, he's the senior Bush, in 1988 ran for president. And he had this line. He said, read my lips, no new taxes. And when he said those words, you know, the crowds cheered. And many people say that he won that election because he promised no new taxes. Well, during his time as president, he did oppose the creation of new taxes, but the House and Senate were controlled by the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party proposed increasing existing taxes as a way to reduce the national budget deficit. Ultimately, Bush had to negotiate and he had to make, he had to give in a way, in many sense, because that's what you have to do. You can't make promises that are, I mean, so big that you ultimately, you don't have control over that kind of situation. So what ended up happening when Bush ran again? That line came to bite him. It said, they said, you said no new taxes, read my lips. His opponents kept bringing that up and he did not win the 1992 election because they couldn't trust what he said anymore. We may have become used to politicians. I think of our climate now, and I think a lot of us think, well, of course politicians aren't going to tell the truth. You know, that's like a norm. So that's not what we even judge people on anymore, right? But that's not okay. And as Christians, we're held to a higher standard. We're held to understanding and not making false promises, is to understand what the situation is, what are we really capable of doing before we promise to do something. So say yes to following through, say no to false promises. The third one is say yes to admitting failure and say no to people pleasing. Acknowledge when you've broken a promise. I think that's the best thing to do when we realize we have failed and we do fail. We will find ourselves failing in many ways. And so when we do, to admit, to say sorry, to make restitution if we can. That's what we can do. When we say yes to admitting to our failures. We also say no to people-pleasing because oftentimes that's at the root of why we commit to things that we are not able to follow through on. It takes discipline to learn our own boundaries. And this, again, is oftentimes done really unintentionally. We promise to do things and then we realize it was beyond my ability to do it, even with the best of intentions. There's grace for that. So I'm going to give my own example. I often said to my mother when I was living with her, I said, I'll be home by a certain time. I'll be home by 6:30, Mom, right? It was okay when it happened one time, two times. But over the years that I lived with her, she said, you hardly ever kept that promise. And then she said, I don't even believe you anymore. Like my word was no good anymore, right? That's the kind of thing where we realize no matter what you say with your words, you're just not going to be believable. It can be with things like that. When we do that, when we keep doing that, what we communicate is we say, this is more important than you are. We might say with our words, I love you, I respect you, I respect your time. I respect you making dinner for me and trying to keep it warm. But if ultimately our actions don't show that we're doing anything about it, our words are meaningless. Oftentimes we're trying to please people. We're trying to please our boss. We're trying to do the next thing. And then we realize we've overcommitted. So learn what it means have some self-discipline. Take a hard look. Let's take a hard look at ourselves. What are the things that we need to change in our lives? To be people who simply say yes and people who simply say no. say no to even good things if there's a better thing that we value higher. I've listed only a few things, but what it means to say yes or no is something that, upon reflection, I think is going to be applicable for each one of us in different ways. Ultimately, God is the one who keeps his promises. As we sang today, it says, "You are a man of your word." God is a man of his word. And he calls us to be a people of our word. So let's simply say yes, simply say no. Let's consider the issues at stake when we learn how to speak our yes and our no, to be wise and to grow in maturity, not to stay immature, but to grow in maturity and being people of integrity.